Well, today we turn our attention to a very important topic, one that, Lord willing, we will look at over five different Sundays through the course of this year. As y'all know, I'm not doing sermon series in order, so I'm out of order, I guess. But anyway, I want to talk with you about these, and so as you work through the year, we're going to pick up each one of these letters, because I think it's important. My suspicion is that many of you who say, I follow Jesus, you're more than willing to tell your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbors, your friends, as we're starting to call them around here, about Jesus. You're more than willing to. The problem often is not your willingness. The problem is you don't really know how to do it. And pastors, well-meaning pastors like myself and others, will get up and say, you need to tell people about Jesus. You need to tell people about your relationship with God. You need to talk about Christ. And then we move on. And we don't take the time to help you understand how to do that. So I believe, as your pastor, one of my tasks is to attempt, at least, to equip you to be better able to tell others about the grace of Jesus that you've encountered, to help you be better able to articulate the grace that you've experienced. And so my plan, Lord willing, is to share five messages this year based around the word faith. Now, you're probably going, didn't we have a faith training class at our church like a year or two ago? We had a couple of them, actually. And I want you to know that what I want to share with you is the guts. Is that a good word? Is the essence. Maybe that's a better word. Of that idea, this idea of faith. And so what I want you to grasp is the idea that with just the word faith, you can learn to talk about your faith. It's real simple. The first one is the idea of forgiveness. As in, just like we just sang, everyone needs forgiveness. I think at some points in life, we get to a place, those of us who've been in church for very long, we start to get a view of the world that says this, well, everybody's good, everybody knows God, everybody's like us. I want you to understand, they're not. You know, there's a building out here on Highway 98 full of people who decided to do things that were unacceptable in civilized society. Of course, none of them did it, you know, but they're there because they were convicted of an action that reveals a heart that is far from God. And I want you to see this morning, because you probably know the scripture verse, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and what? Fallen short of the glory of God. That means this. There's not one of us that doesn't need forgiveness. Everyone needs forgiveness. Everyone needs the kindness of a Savior. And so my task this morning is to remind you of this ugly reality that all of humanity is born in sin. We're born with a propensity to sin. We're born with a heart that is desperately bent away from God. And you may already have this memorized, but our memory verse for this section of time is Ephesians 1:7. I hope you're working on that one. It says this, in him we have what? Redemption. Through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, as we read on, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And what I want you to see this morning is this idea that everyone needs forgiveness. Everyone needs forgiveness. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, put that in your head. Everyone needs forgiveness. When we start living as if people are okay, that everyone's all right, that everyone's moral and everyone's good, the whole impetus of sharing the gospel, of talking to others about Jesus and the redemptive work that he accomplished on the cross goes out the window. If we think everyone's okay. Well, let's pray before we jump into the outline. And I want you to see a couple of things about this text. Father God, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, the words that Paul wrote to those believers in Ephesus so they could be encouraged to be faithful in living out the faith that you'd given to them, that supernatural transformation you'd brought to their lives because the gospel had been shared with them, that, Father, they could then take that and share it with their neighbors. God, help us to see we have a responsibility to be part of that process. That we need to be a part of talking about what God is doing in our lives. And Father, show us this morning, if you're not doing anything in our lives, if we can't point to an evidence in our life that you're there, then maybe, God, we're the ones in need of forgiveness this morning. Your kindness, drawing us into a relationship with you. Father, open our eyes, open our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here's what I want you to see first of all is this, is forgiveness is available only in Jesus' blood. Now, I got to tell you right now, some of you, especially those of you who are younger than me, go, boy, Patrick, that's an awfully narrow viewpoint. You really believe that you can't find forgiveness somewhere else? You can't find forgiveness in a moral lifestyle? You can't find forgiveness in another religion? You can't find forgiveness somewhere else? Jesus inspired Paul to write these words in verse 7. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. In writing to the church at Ephesus, Paul didn't have one particular issue in mind. Ephesus is kind of a neat little story in that they didn't have a lot of issues in their church. So when Paul gets down to writing them a letter, he's not saying, well, you need to deal with this problem or that issue or this situation. Instead, he's wanting to help them develop a deeper understanding of God's love. And he wants them to see the love of God for the thing it was. A deep abiding focus of God for the people whom he created. So his opening statement, we find this declaration that says this, I'm here. I'm for you. I'm with you. And with a backdrop of rebellion of humanity started with Adam and Eve, he says there's one basic need that every person has. Everyone needs forgiveness. The writer of Romans put it this way. He says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. I got to tell you, that's not a real pretty picture of us, is it? We like to look at ourselves and think, well, I'm not too bad. We like to compare ourselves to those around us and say this, well, I'm better than. Fill in the blank. Have you ever noticed we always pick the most dastard characters we can come up with to compare ourselves to? We never say, well, I'm better than Jesus, because we know better than that. But we'll say this, I'm better than that deacon, or I'm better than my Sunday school teacher, or I'm better than that person at school I go to with, the school I go to on a daily basis with. I'll get that out in a minute. I'm better than them. But I want you to understand over and over again in the Bible, the picture is not of people who say, I'm seeking God. No, the picture is this. We're seeking our own way. We're doing our own thing. We're bent away from God. We are conceived in sin. We are born in sin. We live with a propensity to sin. And all of humanity has one fundamental and foundational need to find forgiveness. Everyone needs forgiveness. And if we don't understand that and we don't grasp that and we don't put that to practice in our lives and let that become a driving thought in following the Lord Jesus, I want you to understand, you and I, we will never talk about our faith. Because here's what we'll do is we'll look at those people we work with, those people we go to school with, those people we hang out with, and we'll say to something like this, they're pretty good people. Please listen. there's a lot of good people populating hell today. Forgiveness is available only in the blood of Jesus. See, John 14, 6 said what? Jesus said, I am a way. I'm one of the ways. I'm a good way. I'm probably the best way. That's not what he said. No, he said, I am the only way. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Now, I got to tell you, we're going to talk about that text again in the month of February, so I don't want to spend too much time there. But the thought is this, is either Jesus is a lunatic, a liar, or he's telling the truth. If he's a lunatic, we're wasting our time here, guys. If he's a liar, I don't want to listen to him. But if he's telling the truth, we need to get it. Jesus said he's the only way. We in the church, you know what we've done? We've abandoned that thought. We just say, well, he's all right. He's a good way. He's one of the ways. Many, many paths to God. We need to understand that we need to be more tolerant and accepting. Listen, I want to be tolerant and accepting to the point that I don't see my friends and neighbors and relatives and associates that I work with go to hell. Y'all look at me like I'm crazy this morning. And I got to tell you, I'm okay with that. Let's put this out plainly. If the Ephesians didn't understand and believe that their friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors were without hope until they met Jesus, they would never talk about Jesus as the good news. And somebody asked me this morning, well, maybe the problem in the church is that we aren't being the church between Monday and Saturday. Could be. Because the church, let me remind you, it's not you coming and sitting in this building and listening to some guy talk about a text of scripture and sing a few songs. That's not the church. The church is us being the people of God, the hands of God, the feet of God, the voice of God outside of this place as we live our lives, as we go through the course of existence. You and I, let me tell you what, if I had to figure out a way to communicate this truth with everybody that you know, never happened. Why? Well, take and multiply 300-something people times 100-something contacts. I'm not a mathematician, but that's a whole lot. And some of you know more than 100 people. Some of you know 500 people. Some of you know 30 people. I get that. But I want you to understand, the reality does not change that you and I have a responsibility to share the good news. And I want you to hear again this morning, the good news is not, well, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. The good news is that forgiveness is available in his blood, and only in his blood. I want you to hear this, because I think you and I in the church have forgotten this. We act like everybody's okay. Everything's all right. They're all good to go. They're good to go one place without Jesus. Forgiveness is available only in his blood. In him, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Now, why did he do this? I want you to see three thoughts that kind of support what we're talking about here and grasp this idea of forgiveness. God offers his forgiveness this way, in his wisdom. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our, are better than our thoughts. And you and I better be grateful that he is. Because born in sin, propensity to sin, direction to sin, bent to sin, and yet God sent his son to die on the cross so that you and I could have forgiveness. It was because of his wisdom he did that. Look at verse 8. In Christ, lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. So if redemption is available only through the shedding of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, why did he do that? Remember the words of Romans 3:11. No one understands, no one seeks for God. If none of us are seeking after God, according to the scripture, what's going on? Verse 8 helps us to understand the process and the why of the moment. For what we see here is that God is the one, get this, who initiates the love relationship. In his wisdom, he says, here's forgiveness. What Paul wanted the people in Ephesus to see is this amazing revelation of God's love for people. It was God who initiated the process. Now, we'd like to say, well, one day I woke up and I was so smart that I said, I'm going to come to God. Can I tell you something? The reason you woke up one day and responded to God is because His Holy Spirit was working in you, drawing you to Himself. In His wisdom, He chose you. In His wisdom, He loves you. You may or not remember this song. I'm going to date myself here when I share this one, but there's a guy named Benny Hester a few years ago. Some of you are going, who? We don't sing Benny Hester songs anymore, do we? Yeah. But early contemporary Christian music, he came out with a song. And the words of this song were this. He ran to me. God ran to me. He took me in His arms, held me, my head to His chest, and said, son, my son's come home again. Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in His voice. He said, son, do you know I still love you? He depicted God as coming to us, coming to you, coming to the edge of your life and saying, I want you to have forgiveness. You're going, but it was all my idea. I want you to understand that's not a biblical concept. This idea that, well, one day I was good enough and I was smart enough and doggone it, God needed me. Yes, I just quoted SNL for those of you who know that. I'm sorry. And the rest of you move on. I want you to hear this. God offers forgiveness by His wisdom. Here's the short explanation of what happens when a friend of the Ephesians receive forgiveness. God initiates the process. He provides the individual with the faith to believe, and then God waits for the person to respond. Some of you say, well, that takes the whole human side out of the equation. No, it doesn't. It's that God initiates, God invites, God calls, and then the human has to what? Respond. You've got a job to do in the process. And when God calls to you, it's your time to say yes. Don't put it off. They needed to understand that the love of God was at work to initiate the process and complete the process of redemption. Another reason why God offers forgiveness, it was according to His purpose. Look at verse 9. Making known to us the mystery of Christ's will, His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ. A second reason why God makes redemption possible through the shed blood of Jesus is because it's according to His purpose. It's according to His design. God wanted the believers in Ephesus to grasp the vast differential between a human and God. The heart of human is bent where? To sin. The heart of human is bent away from God. But forgiveness is revealed according to His purpose. The salvation process is in Christ alone. And I want you to understand, instead of this offer of forgiveness is according to the purpose of God, it's according to the revealed presence of God. It's to bring lost people like you and me into a right relationship with God. I want you to also understand, though, that the process, though we may not understand it, leaves some in the darkness, at least for the time being. Why does God save one in a family and not all? Why does God move in some nations more than He does in others? It's according to His purpose. I don't fully understand it, but I want you to understand that God stepped in and says, here it is. So God makes forgiveness possible to redeem fallen humanity according to His purpose. And what Paul wanted them to understand is this: salvation was, is, and will always be God's idea totally. And even before the people in Asia Minor to whom Paul's writing had ever heard of the gospel, God was at work to make it possible. I got to tell you, there's people all around us that God has been working to make salvation possible, and now He's saying, it's your job to make Him known according to His purpose. So God offers forgiveness in His wisdom and according to His purpose, but He also does this idea of forgiveness for another reason, and it's kind of interesting. I never noticed this part of the text until I was studying this week, getting ready, is that God offers forgiveness to produce unity. Look at verse 10. As a plan of the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. So a third reason why God makes this forgiveness available only through the shed of blood is to produce unity. I got to tell you, I don't think I've ever lived in a time when we need more unity. And I'm not that old, but I'm looking around. Yeah, I am some of you, but anyway. I look around going, we need unity. But where do we find that? Where do we get that? You know, it's a word that's very much in vogue today. Everyone says, oh, we need unity. We need to be unified. We need to be this. So we got to be careful not to confuse our understanding of the word unity, which, by the way, in our culture has become this, allowing everyone to do their own thing, with the idea here. Paul is not talking about some hands-off approach to life where your position is as good as my position. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this. Real unity is found in one place and one place alone, and it's in the person of Jesus. What Paul wanted the church at Ephesus to see is that the greatest degree of unity and cohesion is not found in a live and let live philosophy, but in the idea of unifying around the throne of King Jesus. This is where we find unity. See, we're talking about one of the essentials of the faith. Everyone needs forgiveness. The bedrock truth of the Bible is everyone is in desperate need of forgiveness from birth. Everyone needs a moment when they answer the call, follow me. And if we would do that together, here's what happens. We move from a place of lostness. Well, that's an unpopular word anymore. But lost to a place of saved. Then we begin to find that we're together at the throne of Christ. And I can guarantee you at the throne of Christ, there's unity. Because anytime King Jesus is king, he's going to draw us together. So what do we do with this? Real quickly, I've got 10 minutes. Indulge me. Three things I want you to see. First, everyone needs forgiveness. Have I said that yet? Have I said that one yet enough that we got it? So we're saying, Patrick, we got it. There's actually three or four people in the congregation that have it. The choir's got it. Y'all got it, right? Y'all are sharp. Yeah. But there's a few of us there, and there's nobody in the balcony. The balcony crowd's always way above everybody else. Anyway. Y'all with me? I saw that hand. All right. Everyone needs forgiveness. You know, over the years, I've heard statements that are at the surface sound really good, but when you really stop to listen, they're kind of going, kind of, what's the word I want to use? Kind of boneheaded. Here's the one. You ready? Well, I've always been a follower of Jesus. Really? You've always, from the time you were born, you were a follower of Jesus. Really? That kind of denies the whole idea of needing forgiveness if you're already in him when you're born. Doesn't work that way, guys. Here's another one. Everyone's trying to find God. No, they're not. Those statements and a lot of others that kind of sound like, they reveal a serious lack of understanding in the truth that we're looking at today. And it's this. Everyone needs forgiveness. What I want you to grasp is that when we fall for the line that says this, well, everybody's basically good, or everyone's seeking after God, we miss the foundational truth of the Bible that says this, every person is born in sin. Romans 3:23. For all have, there's that word, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I've always been a follower of God. No, you haven't. Everyone needs forgiveness. There's none righteous, no, not one, the scripture says. And we need to grasp the truth that every person is born in sin. Every day people die in their sin of rejecting God's offer of forgiveness. And when that happens, listen, there are people who say, well, I'm a good person. I was a member of the church, but I was always a follower of God. They slip into eternity separated from God. See, God doesn't send people to hell. Did you know that? You go, what? I'm not saying that people don't go there. Don't misunderstand. I'm telling you that God doesn't send them there. Instead, when they reject the free offer of salvation that Christ has for all people, they just punch the ticket they're already holding and keep on going. Everyone needs forgiveness. And where we find ourselves at fault in the process is buying the lie that everyone's going to be okay. Everyone's going to get there. Everyone's going to go to heaven someday. No, they're not. In every century, there are people who want to believe the very best in people, yet in doing so, they don't take into account the innate sinful nature of every person alive. It doesn't take much to listen to the stories of dastardly deeds in our culture anymore, does it? Maybe that's one of the downsides of having so much social media and so much news available immediately. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, can you pick up a phone anymore without something binging at you and saying, these people were shot, these people were killed, these people died, this event happened, this terrible... Wow! At some point, you just want to shut it off, don't you? That doesn't change the reality that everyone needs forgiveness. I hear people say things like this: I can't believe they would do such a thing. The Bible's response would be this: I can't believe more things like that don't happen. Humanity's born in sin, lives in sin, dies in sin if they never exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and his free gift. That, by the way, is your task and my task. And I'm here to remind you that everyone needs forgiveness. Second, last week, as part of the message on the characteristics of God, I talked to you a little bit about the sovereignty of God. And I want to remind you about that this morning because it really ties into this. See, some of us go, well, I took the faith class and I went out and tried to share my faith and nobody got saved. You failed, right? There's a truth I want you to be reminded of this morning. God moves when God moves. In parentheses, you might write, and I'm not God. God's ways are higher than our ways. His ways are vastly different than our ways. Why does one person in a family hear the voice of God to follow the Lord and others don't? Why do some nations seem to have many followers of Jesus when others have few? Why are there reports, if you haven't read these stories, they're amazing, of people in Islamic countries reporting night visions of one named Isa speaking to them? If you're a little rusty on your Arabic, Isa is the name for Jesus. They're hearing from him. There's something to be said for the sovereignty of God, and I want to remind you of that because I'm here this morning challenge you to be telling your neighbors and your relatives and your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbors that they need Jesus, that forgiveness is available. We're going to talk about available next week, but forgiveness is needed by everybody, not next week, but next time. Everyone needs it, and you're going to go, but I told them that, and they didn't respond. That's because you're not in charge of the process. You hear me? You're responsible to talk about Christ. God moves when God moves. There's something to be said about the sovereignty of God, and if we're not careful, we can lean so far toward the sovereignty of God that says this, well, God's going to save who he's going to save, and those who are lost are going to be lost, and so I don't have to do anything. That's not true. Because when you do that, you reject the responsibility that you and I have to look for the opportunities to share the gospel. Some people say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Child of God, can I just gently remind you? You may not have the gift of evangelism. You have the command of evangelism. In the Matthew, go and tell. Interesting. He doesn't say go and live a good life. He doesn't say as you go, be a good moral person. Those things are helpful. Don't misunderstand. But he says, as you go, do what? Talk about him. Oh, I don't know what to say. Everyone needs forgiveness. That's the first one. That's what I'm wanting you to hear. If everyone needs forgiveness. Forgiveness is needed by everyone. If you want to put it the other way around, we need to understand that God moves when he moves, but you and I have a responsibility to talk. You know what's interesting about Ephesus? is the people there, when Paul and his group show up, they were not the first ones to share the gospel. Did you know that? Some disciples of a guy named John the Baptist showed up first, and they had heard about redemption and God's forgiveness from them, and they came and gave them a full understanding. They actually had to baptize them and immerse them at that point. But they, God was moving. And just listen, some of you here this morning, you need to respond. And if God's moving right now, now's the time. One more thought, and I want to be finished. Discover real biblical unity. There's a thought here I think that we could use. I really do. This idea of unity. We touched on it a little bit earlier, but let me expand it just a thought, and then I'll be done. In our day, there are a lot of people who are shouting, unity, unity, unity. And they come from a position, to me at least, where their premise is more than a little strange. Instead of basing unity on the principles of the Bible and the truths of God, they look to their own ideal, their own preconceived notions and their own positions and say, well, if everyone would agree with me, we would have unity. Can I tell you something? If I could get anybody to agree with me, we'd be in trouble. But if we can agree around the throne of God that he is king and that we're his subjects, we might just find some unity. Paul wanted the church at Ephesus, and I think you and me as well, to understand that real unity, biblical unity, is found not when we develop a list of positions and preferences that we hold dear, but when we line up behind the truths of the gospel. True biblical unity is found as we lay down our arms of liberalism and conservatism and rally around the throne of Jesus. Because in running to the cause of Christ, here's what we find: real purpose, real meaning, a reason to get up in the morning, a reason to speak in the day. And we find contentment and meaning. And it seems like so many people are saying this: I want to make a difference. Then plug into God. Plug into the truth of the gospel. You'll make a difference. So let me suggest a blueprint. And if you want the five letters of faith real quickly, I'm going to give them to you because we're going to get it again the next time we talk about this. But the first one is what? Everybody needs forgiveness. F, everyone needs forgiveness. A, this is a little preview for next message when we talk about this. It's available for everybody. I, it's impossible to get to heaven on your own. You can't do it. T, there has to come a moment when you turn away from your path and turn to God. I'd ask you this morning, have you ever done that? Have you ever truly turned away from your way to God? And when you do, H, there's a place that we get to live forever called heaven. Friends, God sent his son to provide the way for you and me to find the forgiveness that every one of us needs. Let me ask you this as we close. Have you received his forgiveness? Have you received his forgiveness? Are you walking in his abundant life? And if not, what's going to keep you from doing it? Everyone needs forgiveness. The kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. Everybody needs forgiveness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for loving us so much that you made forgiveness available, as we'll talk about the next time we talk on this matter. But Father, help us to understand that every one of us needs it. Every one of us in this room, everyone listening even on the radio, Father, needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior, the hope of nations. Father, I pray that we would take to heart this truth, and Father, let it transform the way we live our lives as we understand that every person we encounter needs forgiveness, and that God, you've entrusted to us the gospel as your followers. Father, I pray for those right now who need to make some type of decision. Lord, some who need to commit their hearts to you for the very first time to receive in their hearts forgiveness. Some who've done that have never followed in believer's baptism. They need to do that. Some who've accepted you and they receive that forgiveness. Father, they followed you in faithfulness in baptism. And Father, now they need to connect to a local church. God, draw them to yourself in your time, in your way. And we're going to glorify you as you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We'll be standing here at the front. Rick will be here. I'll be here. And we'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Let's stand together and sing this song, and you respond as God leads.